Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Joe Rose Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
All right, so as we have been doing for the first hour here, talking about the deadly high school shooting here in our backyard, which is, it's tough to even say. It'd be tough to say if it was anywhere in the country. The fact that it happened in Parkland, Florida at Douglas High School is something else. But we have been doing it. We have been talking to people that were on the scene. We will talk to more that were on the scene as well. And we're going to bring on Doug Phillips, news editor for the Sun Sentinel, right now to talk about it. Doug, first off, good morning. Unfortunately, we had to bring you on in this type of situation and not to talk about something else that happened. I'm assuming that you've covered plenty of things here in South Florida or around the country, and this might have been one of the toughest assignments you either had to give out to somebody or go cover yourself.
Hi, good morning, Zach. Good morning, Dave. Yes, you know, these have happened almost routinely in our country. This is the 17th or 18th this year alone, and we always know it could happen here, and this time it has, and it becomes, as you all know, more personal than when it happens anywhere else.
Doug, you I guess at any paper instance like this, everybody has roles, and one of yours is to field calls nationally, internationally from radio stations like this one. What's been the tone from the as you're being asked questions from out of the country or around the country?
Yeah, very good point. A lot of the calls that have been coming are from the BBC in Great Britain and the CBC in Canada. And once we get past the facts of what might have happened here, there's always one question. There's always one question, and I think you both know what it is. It's that, what is it about the U.S. and guns that this keeps happening? And anytime I go to open my mouth and try to answer, nothing cohesive really comes out. And I think, Dave, you may have more experience with this than almost anybody in your quest of with the newspaper taking that handgun around the country to various airports and seeing firsthand what that's like and how easy it is, and get some insight into what the gun situation is in this country.
Yeah, it's just taking luggage around the country, really. It's as simple as that. So the gun laws are interesting in this country for sure, and it is something you have to talk about whenever you go out of the country. So where's coverage go from here, Doug, as far as what we're doing at the Sun Sentinel?
Yeah, a couple of things, Dave. Right now, several things are in motion. One is that Cruz, accused gunman, Nicholas Cruz, has just arrived at the Broward County Jail this morning. He arrived at the Sally Port there a little before dawn. He was just booked into the Broward County Jail, so we were just able to get his booking photo from the jail and all that. Whether he will have a first appearance in court this morning or in the afternoon is not known, but you need to have a first appearance within 24 hours of being arrested. That's his side of the story for right now. The other side is, as you both know, we have 17 people, 17 fatalities from this tragic incident, and their identities have not been officially released. We know some of them by the reporting of the sports department here, Dave, and otherwise, but those names are going to be officially released at some point, we would assume today, and that's 17 people, but probably 2,000 sad stories that are out there somewhere, considering everybody that knows them, their families, extended families, and friends.
Yeah, Doug Phillips, news editor for the Sun Sentinel, joining us here this morning talking about everything that happened yesterday. So me and Dave were talking about this before, and it's obviously a little bit different for a newspaper or a TV station. You posting the picture, putting the name out there. We instead of saying the name here this morning on the show, we have said the murderer. Blasting his name out there. I know it's different for news stations. I know it's different for newspapers. And I know that it's something that you have to all think about, because the minute you see the first picture of him being booked, if you have the picture, you got to run with it. The minute you found out what his name was, we had to throw it out there. How tough is it on a day like this when it hits so close to home? Because you're going to hear kids' names come out. Of course, out of the 17 that did pass away, we have been, like you said, talking about Chris Hickson, the athletic director, and Aaron Feiss, who is the assistant coach and the security guard for the school. But when the kids' names start coming out as a news editor, this has got to hit close to home. I don't know if you have any children anyway, but about putting kids' names out there and families' names out there, this is probably not an easy situation for you.
Yeah, because one, as you might imagine, puts yourself in the role of the people who are the loved ones, survivors, and friends of those people. And was speaking to my wife today, who is a public school teacher, not at that school, but was telling her that, or speaking to her, that clearly she may not have any firsthand knowledge of any of these people when their names are come out, but certainly people that she knows are going to know them. So when you extend how far out this goes, as far as the number of people that are touched by this tragedy, it increases exponentially. And we certainly do that with try to have a lot of sensitivity and sympathy as we talk to people who know them and people who knew them, and find out how we can piece their lives together and tell a little bit about their story.
Yeah, there's a balance that's hard a lot of times to strike between reporting and compassion. And, your wife's a teacher. My wife's a teacher. Have we reached a point where you start to have concern for thousands of kids are going back to school today? Not at, obviously, in Parkland,
Douglas,
but at other places. Have we reached a point now where you start to be concerned about this?
Well, interesting. You should ask that. A couple of weeks ago, my wife came upon just with another organization she's active with, not the school, but it was having sort of an active shooter drill, and she said, "Well, I'm going to go to it." And she said, "Even though we prepare for this at school, there's more that I want to know just in case." And that was a couple of weeks ago. You're far removed from what happened yesterday. So, this appears to be part of our DNA now, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, it's crazy that that's the case. And I did read stories about that, the active shooter kind of protocol that they were putting in schools and having drills about it. I remember when I was in school, and I'm 38, and we were laughing at like tornado drills and stuff like that, like going under a desk. I can't even imagine what it's like for teachers to have to go through this with students or whatever, active shooter drills. And this is the kind of world we're kind of living in now. And I didn't realize that both you, both your wives were teachers at this point too, because I don't know what it's like for a teacher and your wives this morning waking up, going back to school and thinking about what happened yesterday, and that this kind of could happen. And it's unfortunate that this is kind of not the norm, but it seems like the norm at this point, that this is happening all over the country and just our country too. It's a lot that's happening here in the United States. So I don't know what it's like for your two wives this morning. And I know a couple of my friends that their wives are teachers too. And I just read the story about my friend Jeff Wank, who his mother was one of the teachers that hid 17 or 16 kids in a closet yesterday at the school, at Douglas High School. It's a scary situation, and it hits close to home with both of you. I didn't even realize it. Otherwise, I would have started with both of you guys with that. How do you feel this morning with your wives going back to work after something like this?
Well, the editorial board of the Sun Sentinel put out a very strongly worded editorial this morning. I won't read it here, but it calls what has been inflicted on not only us here in Florida, but around the country as a cancer having to do with all this gun violence, and that in every instance, those the politicians offer thoughts and prayers, but we don't seem to get beyond that.
Yeah.
One quick point. After the Las Vegas shooting some months ago, 58 people dead or so, there was a movement to do something about those bump stocks that helped him shoot quicker. Nothing was ever done.
Yeah. It's crazy. Dave, I had no idea. I totally forgot that your wife was a teacher. Totally
yeah,
forgot.
Yeah, but, you know, I think Doug brings up the point is there's anger and what do we do sort of sifting through people right now, but it really doesn't materialize into anything a lot
right.
of times.
You're right.
So,
no, I think you both are right because after a shooting in Las Vegas, you would think something would come about from that. Whatever the case may be, whether it's a gun law, whether it's something, I don't know. And we had someone text in, how could you guys go political right now and go after guns? We have gun stores as sponsors. Well, I mean, their businesses down here in South Florida, you'll obviously not hear a lot of their commercials, I'm assuming, on our station today and around South Florida. But in a circumstance like this, you would just hope that it didn't take something like this to change something, but you hope it will after this, and I hope that something does come about from this so we're not just talking about this as a tragedy that nothing came about from it. So I think you're both right on that circumstance as well. That's just how I kind of throw it out there now. It wasn't even a question. It was just me kind of throwing it out there.
Yeah, the question is when is enough enough, I guess, is the question.
Yes.
And Doug mentioned the Sun Sentinel editorial this morning, and that was essentially the idea. Okay, how many times does this have to happen before we do something?
Well, as people certainly a lot wiser than I have said that usually when all is said and done, more is said than done. And I don't think anybody would argue that in this case, that is what has happened or not happened. And, whether this is a catalyst for change. I mean, babies were killed in Connecticut and that wasn't a catalyst for change or a change. So, who knows? And I think all you can do at some point is throw up your hands.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Doug Phillips, news editor from the Sun Sentinel, we appreciate your time this morning. I know that you're probably busy. I know it's going to be a busy day for you and everyone in the news department today. So best of luck trying to navigate through all this and getting more information as it comes out, as it is. All the reporting that you guys are doing on the ground for this and everything you do is appreciative, and it's good for all of us today to kind of talk our way through this. So we appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, fellas. Happy to help.
Thanks, Doug.
All right, Doug Phillips, news editor from the Sun Sentinel. Let's take a quick break. We are going to come back. Maribel Rodriguez, hopefully, will join us. She is on the scene for CBS4. We'll talk to her about what's going on this morning. I know there's a 10:30, press conference this morning,
yeah.
So there'll be more information on that. So we'll get to that. We'll get to that soon. We'll have more information on that with the Big O Show later on. But Maribel Rodriguez, CBS4, should be joining us next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, back here at 560 WQM, Joe Rose Show. Joe Rose out today. Dave Hyde sitting in with me. Getting ready to hook up with Maribel Rodriguez from CBS4, who is on the scene and been working nonstop since yesterday. I know that. Let's bring on Maribel right now. Maribel, thank you for a couple minutes this morning. I've been seeing you all morning long on CBS. First off, I'll start off with good morning, but I can only imagine at this point this has been probably the toughest assignment you've had to cover maybe in your career, I'm assuming.
Yeah, you're right. It's just heart-wrenching. And, as a parent, you can only I can't even fathom what these parents were going through, trying to get in touch with their children and not being able to do so. I mean, keep in mind, these children were escorted out of the classroom. Some of them were hiding in the closets. Their backpacks were not with them where they had those cell phones. So just those moments of anguish, I just cannot even imagine what they were going through. But out here, I can tell you there's media from all over the world. All the networks are here and you can hear a pin drop. It's just very, very surreal what's going on at this point.
Maribel, what interview or scene registered the most with you over the last 18 hours or so?
Well, I can tell you it was basically 45 minutes ago. I interviewed Colton Hobb. He is a junior at the school. He's with the ROTC, and he was just describing those terrifying moments or close to an hour. He says that they were in class and it was about 2:20. It was towards the end of the day. And they heard a fire alarm. So they all thought they were expecting a drill at some point. And they heard a fire alarm, and just moments later, they heard gunshots. And when I asked him, did you know they were gunshots? He said, at first, it sounded like firecrackers, but they were so close. And then they repeated themselves, and he knew that they were shots. And right then and there, he just went into that mode, because he's in ROTC. They shut the door. The teacher that was with them told all the kids to get down. They had some pieces of wood in the classroom. They got the fire extinguisher. And he says that they were just all standing and waiting to see if to protect themselves if Nicholas Cruz would have walked into the classroom. So just to hear that, he said that there were some students that were having panic attacks. They were trying to calm them down as well. He was speaking with a retired Coral Springs police officer who was telling him exactly what he had to do during those moments. I mean, this kid is 17 years old. He works in a barn, he says. Before he came to school, he was making sure that his horses were safe. I mean, that's the stress that he had on his way to school. And then to encounter this, it's just heartbreaking. You can see just the look on his face, just like no expression whatsoever. He's just, I'm sure he's still in a daze and hard to comprehend what just happened to him.
Yeah, Maribel Rodriguez from CBS4 joining us right now on the scene, and has been all morning, and I'm assuming yesterday as well, all hands on deck with something like this. We're hearing more and more stories, like you said, about a teacher who is hiding students and trying to protect them, or the kid under the desk, and we're seeing what's unfortunate, and me and Dave were talking about earlier, the videos from the students as the shooting was happening, as they were hiding under the desks. I can't imagine what it was like yesterday. I don't know if you got to speak to a lot of the parents or not, if any of the parents showed up there at the school. I can't imagine how gut. I'm a new parent. My son is still in the hospital. And yesterday, while this was going on, I kept staring at him. He's 125 days old, and I kept staring at him going, holy moly, if you were 14 years old.
Gut-wrenching.
I can't imagine.
It's gut-wrenching. Yesterday, I worked the morning shift, so I had just gone off my shift at around 12:30. I was, you know, doing my duties as a mom after work, and I get home and I see what's going on, and I was in shock. I mean, even us that work in the news media, we see this, but when it hits so close to home, it's just hard to understand. I had a knot in my throat. It was heartbreaking. Then I go pick up my kids in school. And I'm just thinking, oh my goodness, you know, right now, the day and age that we're living, it could happen anywhere. We're talking about Parkland, things don't happen here in Parkland. It's just a small community. And I don't think we've ever been covered a shooting here or a robbery for that matter. And now to hear this, it's just very, very surreal.
Yeah, I think that's what people outside of South Florida don't really understand, that Parkland's a very well-to-do and a small community. I mean, South Florida's been known for violence since the Miami Vice days.
Right.
But this is, even for us, this is unusual.
Yeah, well, even on the national reports last night that I was seeing, and I didn't mean to cut you off there, Maribel, but it was Parkland, Florida, just north of Miami. Like, that's what they kept saying. And I'm thinking, God, if you're from the outside looking in, of course you could say that because Miami is Miami, but...
Yeah, but no, it's way north.
Exactly.
I mean, we're talking, it's close to Boca.
Yeah.
And it's very small. It's a very tight-knit community. I was just speaking with one of the commissioners here who was a former mayor of Parkland, Udine, and he was telling me that, you know, his kids went to school here. His daughter goes to school here. His niece goes to school here. So kind of like everybody knows each other. The football coach, unfortunately, that did not make it. He was a former student here. He came back to teach at the school. He was a security guard. He was also the football coach. And it's just heart-wrenching to hear the story from the student saying that, you know, he was a big guy. So when he heard the shots, he ran to the building where it happened. And apparently he shielded some of the students. And unfortunately, he did not make it. So it's just how this community could recover from this is hard to imagine. I mean, the Governor Scott is here now. There's a huge command post right in front of the school. The whole entire area is blocked off. I mean, every street leading into the school is blocked off. They will be having a briefing at 10:30 this morning. I'm sure you saw also that Nicholas Cruz was transferred to the main jail in Fort Lauderdale. He was wearing his hospital garb that we saw him when he was transferred to BSO. And he's now in jail, 17 counts of premeditated murder. Wow. So there's still so many unanswered questions, and people are just asking why, what led this kid to do this?
What's the you touched on a little. What's the rest of the day for you reporting? What's expected to come out today or at the 10:30 briefing?
Well, Governor Scott's here. The sheriff is here, obviously, and they're all just they're regrouping. They've been out here all night long. They've been interviewing Nicholas Cruz all night at BSO headquarters. So hopefully we'll have a little bit more insight as to what triggered this kid to do such a horrific act. But we have crews spanned out throughout Parkland. We have a crew at the hospital. I'm here. Another crew will be heading this way as well. And we'll be covering every single angle. Right now, we're some students are arriving, some parents are arriving, and they're sharing those stories. And it's stories like the story that we heard from Colton Hobb early this morning that we're going to be hearing throughout the hours, the days, the weeks, because this is just the beginning.
Yeah, no, there's a lot to come out from this. I know there's still got to get through the school and go through every part of the school to make sure they found everything in that
video.
School. Yeah.
Yeah, also a lot of video. BSO says they're pouring through a video from inside the school that shows what unfolded yesterday. So hopefully some answers will be coming out of there. But regardless, I mean, I don't think there's ever a good answer to tell your a parent that just such a senseless act. And right now I'm talking as a parent, not as a journalist, because when you cover stories like this, it's hard to separate yourself because you put yourself in their shoes. And I mean, I'm talking about it and, you know, I choke up because it's hard.
Yeah. No, Maribel, I'm with you here. I know that Dave's wife is a teacher, and like I said yesterday, I'm a new father, and these are all the thoughts going through my head yesterday. I can't imagine having a 14 or a 15-year-old or a sibling or a wife or someone that works in a school after something like that. Yesterday, when I got the alert on my phone yesterday when it all started, I honestly, in the beginning, thought, it's a lockdown at a school. We've seen so many of these in the last couple months and years. Probably nothing crazy going on. And then you start to hear active shooter still on campus, police on the scene. This can't be good. Then you see multiple and it's just a whole thing. I can't imagine what it's like. We had to come in here this morning and do a 4-hour talk show. I can't imagine what it's like to go there on the scene like you had to. So unfortunately, we had to bring you on for this type of situation, but I am glad that you did have a couple minutes for us. And it's Maribel. Thank you so much, Maribel. We'll talk to you later. That's Maribel Rodriguez from CBS4 on the scene at Douglas High School. And I can't imagine what the scene is like this morning, even, like you said, 18 hours, 12 hours, whatever it is, after all this kind of unfolded and the command center that they have there. We saw the governor come down. We knew the sheriff's department was there. I know that yesterday we saw reports of the local FBI. We saw reporters that we know from around the country flying down here. I think Victor Kendo's working for ABC National, and Adam Cooperstein came down from NBC New York. These are, you know, you send down people that might know the area, but it doesn't matter because once you come down here, you're in a different kind of situation that you've never seen before and unlike something we've seen before either.
Well, what's going to happen today is news is going to trickle out. And for instance, Jeff Glor of CBS just tweeted out, he just spoke to Jim Lewis, the attorney for the family the shooter was staying with. He told us family was aware Cruz had a rifle. They said he was required to keep it locked up inside their home.
Wow.
So this wasn't like it was some
secret,
an assault weapon being some secret that he just had.
Wow.
You know, he just came across. This was evidently. So I don't know where to go with that other than we're going to get news like this
all
coming out.
Yes.
And little pieces that will be fit together. You know, the oddly uplifting thing from all this, the tragic death of the football coach, what a good person he was.
Right.
The things he was doing in the final moments of his life, saving other people. Evidently, I mean, we're all going third hand on stories like this right now.
Yeah, no, and like Maribel said, she spoke to one of the students outside the school that was in the ROTC and about the incident yesterday. And like I said earlier in the show as well, fortunately and unfortunately was privy to see all the videos yesterday that were coming out on social media, and I got to literally watch them all and be freaked out by all of them, of a student under a desk, and it's like Maribel said, you could hear a pin drop in the room, and then all of a sudden you just hear gunshot after gunshot after gunshot. And then there was a video I saw last night that, and I retweeted the video of the gunshot of the girl that I guess posted the video when you heard the gunshots. I then saw a video, which I did not retweet, and I was almost sick to my stomach seeing it. It looked like the SWAT team coming into a room to clear the room. And in two different spots in the room, you saw dead bodies. You saw a body there, and you saw, unfortunately, blood on the floor and students crying just to try to get out of the room. I can't imagine what it was like yesterday for the students that were involved. I can't imagine what it was like for the parents that had students at the school. The closest I come to it is a friend of mine whose mom was a junior, senior English teacher at Stoneman Douglas. And she was one of the teachers that was locked in the closet with her students for over an hour. His post says she didn't panic. I couldn't reach her. And it was a horrific time not knowing what was going on when SWAT came in and rescued them. She called me and actually calmed me down. This is the son of a teacher in the school who was more worried than the actual teacher was at the time, because I guess I'm only guessing because I've never been in a circumstance. Adrenaline and you're scared and everything at once, and you kind of don't even know what's going on. I can't even imagine what.
Well, and like, as a parent or in this case, the son of a teacher, you don't know what's going on. The fear of the unknown is out there until you get a message from, in this case, the mother, or
they called and said everything's
okay. You saw all the dozens of reuniting between the
children and parents,
and parents yesterday, and you know, this is it's not a story of yesterday of how they, especially the 17s who were lost, how their families go on. But, you know, this will go on months, years. I don't know how you recover from this.
No, it's not going to be easy. And I think one of the best ways to kind of go through it and talk about it, or go through it and try to kind of grieve through it, is to talk through it. There will be no there will be no way to feel better about it if you're directly involved and if you've lost someone or you have a student or a sibling or anyone that's at that school, and I understand that. But the way that we're going to try to do it this morning is talk about it, listen to some of the people that were involved with it yesterday, journalistically wise. We just had in the news editor for Sun Sentinel, Doug Phillips. Maribel Rodriguez from CBS4 was with us as well. We'll talk to Ari Adzer that was at the scene also for NBC6. He's going to join us at the top of the hour, 8 o'clock. But next segment, we're going to hear from some of our local sports figures that talked about the situation last night. Eric Spoelstra, Derek McKenzie, Bob Bugner, the head coach of the Florida Panthers. Steve Kerr nationally talked about guns and what happened yesterday. And on Fox Sports, Will Manso, Jason Jackson, and like I said, Eric Spoelstra also talked about it. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll hear from all that next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Ari Adzer will join us from NBC6 here at the top of the hour. I wanted to play some more sound from you from some of our local kind of sports teams, and when they found out the news yesterday, obviously not in town. We'll first start off with some of the guys from Fox Sports. Will Manso, Jason Jackson, Eric Spoelstra all talked about this incident yesterday on the broadcast.
As we begin our coverage tonight of Heat basketball here on Fox Sports Sun, we must first take a moment to send our thoughts to the victims, families, and everyone affected by the senseless shooting today, not too far from our studios here in Fort Lauderdale at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. From all of us at Fox Sports Sun and the Miami Heat, you are in our thoughts and prayers tonight as we begin coverage of our game. And we begin that coverage by sending it out to Philadelphia to continue to talk about the tragedy that happened here. Jason Jackson joining us now from Philadelphia. And Jax, I can imagine that as this terrible news came down, it made its way to the Heat locker room, to the coaches and the players.
Miami Heat head coach Eric Spoelstra, Will, kind enough to start his remarks today on that very subject. As you know, when anything happens of this proportion, this type of tragedy, this thoughtlessness, this insane devastation that goes on in so many communities, you feel like it's not going to happen in yours. It radiates throughout the nation, including the centerpiece of it, this very team. Here's what Coach Spoelstra had to say.
I'd like to say our thoughts and prayers are to all the students and families and teachers, everybody in Parkland that's suffering from just an incredibly tragic and absolutely senseless act. It's horrifying, as we're finding out more information about it. And I just, want them to know we're thinking about them. It makes this game feel totally insignificant. It's just mind-boggling.
There's no one right thing to say, no one right thing to do at this hour. Sheriff Israel back in Broward County updating really the entire area, if not the entire nation, and those interested around the world of what went down today at Stoneman Douglas, which is just thoughtless when you have young people in the exact place where you want them. So the somber feeling, the feeling of devastation, all of those are correct feelings, and if this is the right place for people to be, to find something, a gathering place, something to think of, something else about, then we're here to provide the game that will be played between the Sixers and the Heat tonight. Will, back to you, John.
Jack, very well said, and Eric Spoelstra as well. As Jack just mentioned, Jack's a parent. John, you and I are parents, as so many that are watching tonight. The feeling and of understanding what is happening tonight, it's hard to take in. And again, our thoughts and prayers are with all the families, with the victims. It is in our minds, it is our hearts tonight. We're going to try to cover this game with respect. We're going to try to, obviously, at the same time, understand what is going on in our community.
Yeah, it's got to be tough last night. One thing for us, especially this morning, to come in here and try to do a radio show. How about when you were in live coverage last night for the Panthers or for the Heat? And that's how you have to. It's almost like you almost feel dirty starting your broadcast and not talking about it because you have to. But then there actually has to be a game played as well. I don't know how. It's like I said, it's tough enough for us to come in here this morning for a 4-hour talk show and do what we're doing. I can't imagine what last night was like for those guys also, and not being home too, a couple of those guys on the road.
Well, you're used to in this business, in the toy department, talking about toys and pretending toys matter. And as I said earlier, when people say this puts things in perspective, but no, us in the business typically don't need something like this to keep things in perspective.
No, you're right.
You know, and nor should anybody. And so, the heartache and it was interesting to hear the heartfelt emotions like from Spoelstra, Will Manso, everybody on that before the program, basically saying, look, we have a job to do. We're going to do it. But like with you, our thoughts aren't necessarily with what we're doing right now.
No, you're absolutely right on that. And the hockey team, also the Panthers last night, Steve Goldie Goldstein, friend of the show as well, they obviously had to talk about the same thing on their broadcast as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.